What would happen if we had the boldness and the presence to lean into our edges and grow from our core? See, in a world that's shaped by yesterday, constantly chasing into tomorrow, I'm inviting you into a conversation where lifestyle, business, and consciousness share the same office space as your purpose and your brand. This is the Supernova Podcast, and I'm your hostess, Lena Ski. So last week, Whitney Johnson and I were chatting about A-teams, true growth, learning curves. How do we really disrupt ourselves rather than just disrupting the industry? Because by disrupting ourselves, we actually do disrupt more than we've bargained for. And it's a harder disruption to make. And I totally get this as a true growth coach as well. Or what I embody as a true growth coach, with all the work that I've brought in from the well-being economy and all the other spaces that I believe crystallize that concept of what it really means to create for growth. And what does that really embody for us? Anyway, that aside, or that as a footnote to maybe a bit of a later conversation in this podcast, there was a moment where we were chatting and, you know, the S-curve that you spoke about the last week, and I almost wish I could poetically draw this into your imagination. Think of it as a roller coaster, like you're kind of starting at the low end and then you sweep up that neck, that rising, and you kind of get to that plateau and you kind of hang around there for a bit. And then, yes, it drops back down again. But in this particular curve, it's not so much about the roller coaster ride going down. It's about the build-up, the beginning, the middle, and the victory crescendo before the next chapter emerges. And for me, when I've been using the S-curve that I connected with a couple of years back in a training call with Whitney Johnson, I saw a lot more coming up around branding and values and how do we really grow the things that really matter. So when I kind of spoke into that in the podcast last week, I kind of stumped Whitney. Like, I kind of stumped her. And she asked me to kind of clarify what was going on. And I totally wasn't expecting her to come with that question. It totally threw me left, right, and center. And all of a sudden, I noticed my insecurities, my doubts, all these questions of what if I've been missing the whole conversation? What if I haven't been listening? What if the way I'm understanding this and translating this and making this my own, and what if the way that this work is actually meant to be in the world is not the way that I'm living it? And what if the way that I'm putting myself out there is not the way that I'm living it? And of course, the spiral, as any entrepreneur or any creative or any visionary or anybody human, actually, really, truly, if we're honestly honest, goes through. And it's this perplexing conundrum of kicking ourselves in the butt, throwing ourselves in a hole, and stumbling to find our words. And I have very good reasons to stumble. I believe Whitney Johnson was named either number 9th or number 11th, maybe even number 13th, but even if it's 13, 13 is a pretty cool number, as the top LinkedIn influencer. She shares that list with Richard Branson. She shares that list with Brené Brown, with some really notable names. And here we are chatting and I'm kind of going, yeah, there's something to your model that I don't know if you've seen. And the audacity to step up and put that out there. So I decided I want to explore that a little bit more. I want to make a podcast out of that a little bit more. Especially since our schedule's just kind of taken a little bit of a creative twist. And today's special guest will be joining us next week instead. So I don't want to give away any of that amazing information just yet. And I want to kind of just settle into this idea of what does it really mean to grow? And what are we learning when we're really growing? Because this is what I believe, or a piece of what I believe Whitney Johnson's model of an interpretation of the S-curve, a well-known mathematical scientific formula, graph that's been used in lots of different ways, in lots of different conditions, and in developing this deceptive but really compelling A-team. So maybe let's first let me speak into the A-team, because I'm not sure if all of you are kind of going, hey, wait, hold on. Maybe you're now feeling those pangs of uncertainty and unworth, and who am I to still be here on this call, listening into this conversation when I'm an army of one, when I'm so connected and so in my own flow and I'm doing things for myself. Because I know that there are quite a few souls out there that are listening right now that are finding themselves in that bandwagon. And I want to invite you to remember that, you know, having an A-team around you isn't just about the people you employ. And I think that's an important point that we didn't really get to touch on, because of course with any podcast there's so many places we could go to. But this is such a big point in our growth, in creating what it is we're here to create, in scaling what it is we're here to create, in embodying what it is we're here to create, and leading what it is that we're here to do. That we're really being invited to step in a bigger way. And it's not just who we hire. First of all, let's get this point straight off the bat. Our clients are people we hire. They may be paying us. The deal might be the other way around rather than us paying our clients. And if you are paying your clients, just let's talk about that business model. It could be interesting. You could be onto something, but predominantly it's not going to serve you in the world of business. It'll definitely keep you in the world of busyness, but it won't keep you in the world of business. So, you know, we enroll our clients. We enroll our service providers. We enroll our collaborators. We enroll our wisdom council, the people who we look up to. We may not even be so actively participating with them to be able to maybe afford to be mentored by, say, the likes of Elon Musk or Richard Branson or Vishen Lakhiani or Brené Brown or Oprah Winfrey or whoever it is, the late Steve Jobs in his new spirit form, or even Michael Jackson, who knows, whoever you think is going to give you that edge on what it is that you think you're doing, maybe more of an Einstein or Michelangelo kind of mentor. But these are people that you're enrolling. These are people that are part of your A-team. These are people that you're hiring in these different spaces. So I thought that was a really important place to start before I kind of get into the question of what stumped me, because I still feel that I'm navigating into and creating that space to bring that conversation up, because it didn't feel like it had the context or the padding or the place to really be heard and understood. And it feels like it won't leave me until I say this piece. So I'm trusting my intuition that it'll find you where you need to be found. It will speak to you where you need to be spoken to. And it'll meet you and hold you and take you and lead you and guide you and transform you into the things that it is that you're really up for and really doing in what it is that you're here to do, even if that piece is not clear. So let me just take a breath and just tap into this, because our A-teams are things that feel external to us. They feel hard and harsh. They feel like they come with more cost than they do with benefit. And that, I think, is one point that also wasn't really mentioned in the last podcast, that This transactional quid pro quo, you know what I'm trying to say, that we're trying to constantly scale these things out on some sort of a tipping scale of what it is and what it'll grow as and how much will it cost us to get there. And when we're already kind of going through that lens on what growth is, when we're already putting that level of price tag to growth, that level of expectation, that level of orientation, even that level of, how can I put it, agenda, maybe even agenda would be a good word to connect into the statement, because all of a sudden this thing that's supposed to be growing us, allowing us to connect with what it is that we're doing, and encapsulates the kinds of actions we need to take to make this thing a reality, to scale it up, to pivot, to nuance, to select, to package, to all these different pieces in play, doesn't really kind of get to be in the room if we're too transactionally focused, and we're putting more of a price tag or a barrier or a glass ceiling or a brick wall on what it means to grow. And this is a conversation that threads a little bit more back into the well-being economy without giving away too much of that. But that's also been something that's been playing around in my mind quite a bit. You know, this time last year, I was up in Johannesburg here in South Africa, and we finished the Wellbeing Economy Festival, which was such a prolific event in my life, and went straight into a back-to-back other conference. And I'm having a lot of conversations and connections with people that I kind of met, and we're kind of doing a lot of reflecting on where the year's gone and where the year could have gone in that space. So this conversation of growth and looking back and reflection, and I know it's such a thing we do at this time of the year, right? It's such a both honoring and exploring and eyes wide opening, awakening period, and potentially a great denial period. You know, let's just jingle it along. Let's just sweep it under the mistletoe. Let's just put holly all over it and dress it up in these bright festive colors and paint a smile on these things, because it's the season to be celebrating. It's the season to be festive. And let's not touch into the growth and the truth of what really is. Sure, we're going deep diving today. Can you feel it? I can definitely feel it. So I'm kind of coming back to that question that Whitney asked me in that last podcast last week, when I connected the S curve, this learning curve, this audacious way in which we learn, in which we grow, in which we become more profound, prolific, proficient. We may even throw in the words effective and efficient into that, but I'm not so clear on those words. It's not that I'm clear on those words, is I almost want to disentangle those words with another article that I just put out on Medium, because I don't think it's so much about that per se. Yes, there is that in mastery, like there's a cool cat kind of owning it where everything's streamed and comfortable, but actually that stream of being in the flow doesn't actually happen in mastery according to the A team. Interestingly enough, it happens in the slipstream in between, where you're the predominant creative force in what it is you're creating, and you're balancing out the tensions, and you're so riding this enigmatic wave of what it is you're doing, and you're holding all these different places, and you're basically in your sweet spot. That's the true place of mastery, when you're holding your sweet spot, where you're not stale and outdated and forgotten and wrinkly and irrelevant, because that's a big conversation right now in terms of what's happening with the future of work, right? And I do mention it quite a few times, and I loved having that conversation with Whitney, and the need to feel relevant in our growth. Because if we don't feel relevant, and if we're not growing in relevant ways, and we're not growing in ways that move us more into our purpose, even though at times we don't always know what that is. And I do feel like I want to relaunch a masterclass around that. So let me know if there's a pang of interest around that, because it may feel like that's a calling that I'm being asked to bring back into the mix and back into reality and back into the conversation. But more than that, yeah, it's this space of really being in your power and really in creating, and that's where you're actually in your own A zone. A conversation we also didn't get to have is, you know, are you supposed to be at mastery in your business? Or are you supposed to be riding that sweet spot, that edge of the unknown, that edge of relevancy, that edge of potency and possibility and plausibility, where you've got it, but it's not, but you're still in the unknown. You're still in the rising. You're still adaptive. You've still got this playfulness inside. And it really does feel like that. It really, truly does feel like, as leaders, there are certain things that we've become masters of. And very often we become masters of the things we don't actually want to be masters of, because it's the human condition. We've had years of thinking in certain ways. We've had years of talking about things in certain ways. We've had years of procrastinating and defending ourselves in certain ways. And those have all been skill sets that have been in play, but they may not be the kind of mastery that serves the business that we're creating, the team that we're hiring, the people we're collaborating ourselves with, the things we're aligning ourselves to, and the way we're actualizing what it is we're standing for. Because standing for something really means something a lot to me. We're in this S-curve, we're kind of rising into who we are. And we're needing to have that flexibility. These are the days of flexibility. These aren't the days of writing and being outdated, because the game is changing, bam, 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 just like that. It's like, I can't even click fast enough. It's like something's already changed fundamentally, not just in our own body systems, which are always morphing and evolving in ourselves, but in something in the world has just changed. Some idea has just landed. Something has just pinged. Something has just been letting go of. Some transaction has just been made. Somewhere something has just fundamentally shifted. The earth is said not to ever be in the same place ever again in this ever-expanding universe. So it's no wonder that sometimes you don't know what to do, because the truth of it is you've actually never been here before. You've never been in this day, regardless of the Groundhog Day theory, which reminds me, when is Groundhog Day? Isn't it like soon? Is it after Christmas or before Christmas? I'm not quite sure. I'll need to get some of the American listeners to just connect with me and let me know this groundhog phenomenon. Of getting, I guess, stuck in this eternal thing, or the Hollywood version of getting stuck in a day. And we all know the lesson that we ultimately learn from that. We don't need to rewrite that movie, as Ron would say. Yeah, we've seen the movie. We don't need to rewrite it. It's already in motion. What movie do you really want to be writing instead? So in all of this, where are we really growing and what are we really learning? You know, we're so cool to be like, I know better. I totally got this. This article that I just put out, you know, I can already almost, I put it out with such pause and hesitation, because I can already feel that, you know, it could do nothing, it had no dent in the universe, and it could come back with people going, you don't know what you're talking about, and you need to read this book, and you need to do this thing, and like, you know, clearly you don't know what's going on in the world, and I'm going to tell you this answer, and you need to go and do this, and you need to read this, and you need to train with this, and da 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 da. And we get caught in that loop of not good enough. We get caught in that loop of needing to be perfect. We get caught in that loop of insignificant very, very easily, especially as entrepreneurs, especially in business. I mean, it's a human thing. We automate systems, but we don't automate the humanity of our experience and the fact that, you know, work and emails and those things happen, and yes, we still have tech support to make sure that those things ping and those things coordinate and those things talk to each other. We need those things right now. We're pretty hooked in. We're pretty addicted to that. We're needing that sort of stability and that sort of system, because otherwise it would be way too overwhelming for us. And yet the pieces of us, the pieces that drain us, the pieces that bring us to life, the pieces that feel so complicated, the pieces that we wrestle with, the pieces that we lose sleep over, is this other element of business, the human element of business, the mental element of business, the potential thought of business, the hows, the whats, the questions, the long forgotten questions, the questions we don't like to ask, the questions we're forgetting to ask, the questions that take us out of our growth, the questions that help us forget to learn. And that makes me sad. Because if we're not learning, if we're not opening, if we're not balancing out in that sweet zone, in that A-team zone, and actually enrolling ourselves into our own A-team, even if we are a party of one, like, get over yourself, stop being the master, and actually be relevant, actually be agile. We had this conversation as well. I think it was with Ron, or perhaps even Eric, where we looked at organizations and the problem of why a lot of leaders, managers in organizations, and even in the startup world and coming in with new investors and all these different things, the reason why we fail is because we apply the old thing that we've done and work, the old success formula. And I laugh because I've actually done training in helping people create their success formula. And I've so parked that because what worked there may not be relevant for what you're doing right now. There's a wisdom, there's a guide, there's a pattern, there's a pattern in that. And it's good to know those patterns. It's good to be fully awake, fully conscious, fully human to that pattern. But the relevancy of what it is we're creating is so, so, so important. So again, it kind of swings me around to this question that Whitney kind of threw right back at me in such an endearing way and such a curious way to just hear me more and understand me more, that felt like it sent me under some train. And the more I connect with that question and the more I honor that question, it still feels like what I said was true. I fumbled a lot. I perhaps wasn't as precise, elegant, graceful in my reply because I didn't see it coming, and it wasn't about how I make the world. It was a conversation about how we could create the world and what are the possibilities out there. But this question of how do we grow, what do we ask, how do we create relevancy, how do we create a culture around that? Because the truth is, and this is something I did bring up in that podcast, that the truth to really getting a brand together is one needs to understand these pieces. And so many people are still doing this in isolation, and I love finding those connections between the conversations we're missing and these conversations that are still happening in silos, even though there's the best of intentions. And hey, I'm human too. I can only say so much right now in this space, in this time, in the space-time continuum. And there's so many spectrums of what I could go into in what it is that's rising in me to be known. So maybe let me just throw out some of the questions that I put out in the article, because maybe that might ping a little. And I won't get the wording right, and I'm not going to go faff around with trying to pull it up right now. But there was a question around, you know, in this world that's innovating, in this world that's saying only mastery matters, only the team, A-team, A-level team, by academic standards, by power status, by entitlement in terms of the titles we put to our business cards or the titles we put to the work that we think we do in the ways that we think we do it, that try and encapsulate all the different facets of what we end up doing and never really and always fall short of who we actually are, because we can never be entitled and encapsulated into that name and into that word and narrowed into any spectrum of anything, really, truly, absolutely. So in this world that's inviting us to become more unpackaged in its own way, there's this question of, if we're honoring growth as bigger, faster, more. The gluttonous act, the corporatization of a business. You only matter if you're big, you have swag, if you've hustled all the gold chains around your neck, if you bled for every ounce of what you created, and you have all the t-shirts to go with it. You know, you don't matter until all these tick boxes are ticked with such wanderlust. Your business isn't a competitor until it's throwing money at the world stage to sponsor an event, to stand with giants and kind of shout with the loudest marketing campaign possible, to kind of go, I am here. I am worthy of making this space. I have the right to have this space. It is mine. It is this carnivorous act of claiming and protecting and forever having to hold one's ground and groveling at it at the same time, swiping your claws at anything that threatens your existence, threatens your knowing, and not being able to see the glaring reality of the truth or the obviousness in what is and what's rising, and the possibility and the magic and all those other elements that come with that. Because I believe they do. I'm of that camp to see them. You know, if we're measuring mastery on that, on just hitting the KPIs, but taking humanity out of the equation, I don't think that's growth. And in a world gone that efficient and effective, in a world that seems to be innovating, because they love to use that word, we love to use that word, it is a buzzword, it is a good word to be using right now, right? Innovate, yeah, good word. Ron and I were kind of taking it apart a couple of weeks back. Where is actually creativity in that? Like, where's the creativity in that? Where's the wonder in that? Where's the opening in over-systematized, over-structured, no room, completely in the knowing, nothing else allowed? I'm the king of this. I know better. Do it my way. Mastery. Profound, prolific, legendary, efficient, effective, and all the other words that we can put into that resume of growth. So there you have it. There's no more room at the edge of maybe. In fact, maybes have been taken out and scrapped all the list altogether. Because you're not just in business to create products and services. I mean, that might have been what got you out of bed this morning. That might be what's getting you to pay the bills. But you're here to own so much more. You're here to encapsulate so much more and embody so much more. You're actually in the business of creating openings, shaping connections, and establishing engagement. And this is your exact moment in the space-time continuum to find yours. Because you are moments away from being in the whole new class of emergence and sharing your genius in a very unique, bold way. This has been Lena Ski for the Supernova Podcast. And if you like this, love this, absolutely roared about this, check on over to our Patreon page because there's some extra awesome things happening there for all our patrons. And of course, we could always do with more exponential love to really catapult this future of work into the way that's actually going to make a difference in the world. But, and so much more, if you're ready to become magnetic, evolutionary, and a whole lot more in charge of what it is you're putting out into the world, and intuitively design the products, businesses, service, solutions, and the talents you need to discover and deliver that thing that's unique to you and the DNA of what it is that's being birthed in this moment, you're gonna love everything else happening over at www.lenaski.com. See you there.